This past week, John Malloy sent out an email in which he was reminding those, primarily those who he served with, but also his loved ones, that it was 54 years ago that he returned safely home from Vietnam, his service in Vietnam. And of course, John, like many other veterans, did not have the ability to have all come home. Not everyone who served in Vietnam, unfortunately, came home alive. And this morning we're really looking at this theme of safely home. Returning safely home. Like military service and a mantra that is often with the military is no man left behind. We're going to bring everyone home, even if they are not alive. But as we look at the gospel today, I'm also reminded that even outside of military service, my years in working in law enforcement, particularly the years that I worked as a patrol officer, I never took it for granted that I would return safely home at the end of a shift. There were, over the years, friends and colleagues of mine who did not return safely home. And just as in the military, we, in our daily lives, our vocations, can face the perils of just everyday life. I'm sure that some of you probably have been trapped in a snowstorm or a horrible thunderstorm and trying to get home. And you thank God the moment that you got home. Home being representative of safety and security and tranquility. Recognizing that not all homes are like that, where there can be abuse, where there can be the lack of peace and tranquility. But nonetheless, there is this sense of returning home, of being able to bring back those who have been in peril, for those who have wandered. And in our gospel lesson this morning from the 15th chapter of St. Luke, Jesus tells three back-to-back parables, and we only heard the first two of the three. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and then to close out the chapter was the parable of the lost son, or what is sometimes referred to as the prodigal son. So there's three parables back to back, and it's in reference to the fact that Jesus is being judged by the Pharisees, by the scribes. Look at him. He eats with sinners, with prostitutes, with tax collectors. There is the religious elite judging the judge, the great judge of the universe. And Jesus goes on to tell these parables to try and present the truth that God desires not that one be left behind. That even if there were 99 out of 100 sheep, even if 99 were safe at home, if one of them, just one, wanders off into the perils of the wilderness, the great shepherd of the sheep will go after him, will go after that one soul, to place that soul, that sheep, upon his own shoulders, and to bring him or her safely home. And of course, the parable of the lost coin, the woman who lost one of her coins. And I preached this before. It's akin, because the coins were used as a symbol of dowry, and they were placed in a necklace. And to lose a coin from one's necklace was like, in our culture, a woman losing her diamond from her wedding ring or engagement ring. And she searches the house and finds it and calls up her friends to rejoice. To rejoice. Why? Because that which is lost has been found. And Jesus is saying, these sinners that I eat with are worthy of my presence, are worthy to hear the truth of the gospel, are worthy to be delivered from their own sins and transgressions and darkness, for to have one of them repent, for one of them to repent is to cause all the company of angels in heaven to rejoice in that one sinner repenting, as compared to 99 who were just and had no need to repent, to be safely home. And what does that look like? What does that look like in terms of our own lives? Well, us being here on Sunday is one aspect of that, is one reality of that. We leave here on Sunday, and from Sunday to Sunday, we live in the world. We live in the world with all of its stresses, with all of its allurements that arouses the passions within us. And if we're honest, we find ourselves straying. We find ourselves relapsing into sin. We find ourselves living a life that is not consistent with the gospel and the teachings of our Lord. And so in some regards, we are like that lost sheep. We are like that lost coin. We are like that lost son. Or we find ourselves being the older son's brother. Or like the scribes and Pharisees, in judgment. Living in judgment, self-righteous judgment. But we come each Sunday acknowledging our sins and transgressions. The priests and the sacred ministers at the foot of the altar, before I even ascend into the Holy of Holies, confessing my sins, seeking forgiveness on behalf of not only myself, but for everyone who is gathered here. And then at the start of the Mass, for us to chant, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, Christ, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Our arriving safely home in communion with God and with all the saints depends upon our repentant and contrite hearts. Hearts that have wandered. Souls that have been lured away by the pitfalls and the entrapments of this life of the enemy, the devil. And St. Peter in the epistle lesson is telling us to resist him. He's like a lion that is seeking to devour. But he says, and this is 1 Peter 5, verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, in other words, who has called us home, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To settle you. To find your true place. To find your true humanity as one redeemed of God. And yes, there will be suffering. There will be temptations. There will be trials by fire. No doubt. In the same manner in which King David faced those trials, he faced the giant Goliath. He faced a King Saul who sought to even destroy him. King David faced his own passions and his lust with Bathsheba. But I want to remind you what King David wrote. Another picture of our true home in the beloved 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This past Tuesday evening, my former deputy chief of police from McDaniel College, who I've remained good friends with, Adam Reed, contacted me to tell me that his fiance, Emily, her father was very near death. He was in the last stages of liver cancer after he had already suffered from cancer of the esophagus a couple of years earlier. And Emily's dad, Greg, while he had been baptized as a young man in the Baptist church, really had not had a life in the church, had basically lived a secular life. They had no pastoral care. And so Adam said to me, he said, "You're the only person I know who's religious, who's a pastor. Would you be willing to come and pray with Greg and the family?" And so I told him I'd be there in the morning if he lived through the night. Well, Adam texted me Wednesday morning to say that Greg had survived the night. And so I said, "Give me a few minutes to get things together and I'll head over." He lived over in Boonesboro in Washington County. And I got there to find Greg lying in the hospital bed. He was not conscious, very jaundiced, not unexpected with someone in the last stages of liver cancer. Mouth open, laboring to breathe. Every breath was laborious. And I knew that he was near death. And I told his wife, Marcia, I said, "This can be a very holy time. This can be a very holy time, because even though I know that Greg cannot respond, I know that he can hear." And so I began to just give him the promises of the gospel. The promises that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Asking Greg to just confess in his heart whatever sins that he felt stood between he and the great judge, our Lord. And believing that he heard me, I continued with the asperges, the prayers of commendation of a soul. And throughout the prayers, we heard his breathing become more and more relaxed. He was experiencing in that moment the grace of God, the presence of God, the presence of the church. He may not have been to church, but church was brought to him in the prayers. In the not only my prayers, but the intercessions of the saints that were present on his behalf. And it was probably within 3 to 5 minutes following the prayers that Greg peacefully departed this life. And Emily and Adam and Marcia were moved beyond measure in having experienced that holy moment for themselves, to know that with the hope and the grace and the mercy of God, that their loved one was safely home. I just talked about the 23rd Psalm, and it is a psalm that is traditionally used at funerals because it is in recognizing our own mortality the immortality that we have been given, that gift in Jesus Christ. And today, as we close out our Mass, we will be singing a hymn that was authored by a man known as Sir Henry Williams Baker. Sir Henry was the third baronet of the House of Dunstan in Richmond, in County Surrey, England, back in the 1800s. He was Cambridge educated, and during his education at Cambridge University, he was ordained to holy orders as an Anglican priest and became a hymn writer. Sir Henry departed this life on February the 12th, 1877, at only age 55. But his last uttered words, Sir Henry's last uttered words, were taken from a stanza of that hymn that he wrote. The King of Love, my shepherd is. He says, perverse and foolish oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. The last words of a man who penned words to a hymn for the 23rd Psalm. Let us rejoice in this gift of our Lord, the great shepherd of the sheep, bringing us safely home. Let us continue in our own wandering to heed and to hear the call of our Lord to return, to return, to return safely home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.